Bishurchem, we're starting a new Masechet Beitzah. You know, I had the zechut to learn Masechet Beitzah, at least a good amount of it, with Rabbi Ben Chaim 3 years ago. So, we'll get a good taste of what the Gemara is from Rabbi Ben Chaim's mouth himself. Today's daf will be learned by Atzlamah David Ben Rachel, Shalomo Ben Sarah, and Havdil, Lilu Nishmat, Ere Shava Bat Aharon. Okay. So basically, the Masechet is called Beitzah, or as the Ashkenazim call it, Be'ah. We're not going to get too into why or why not, but really the Beit Yosef calls this Masechet, Masechet Yom Tov. It's really, the Gemara is all about the halachot of Yom Tov and everything that pertains to Yom Tov. It's actually very interesting now that we're going into the Chagim. You know, we just did Masechet Sukkah, we're jumping into Masechet Yom Tov, Beitzah, which is all the general laws of the Chagim, and then we go into Rosh Hashanah also, and it's very, you know, interesting that it's right in this time period also. The reason why it's called Beitzah is because the first Mishnah talks about an egg that was born on Yom Tov. So and what is it allowed to be eaten? Is it not allowed to be eaten? And so on and so forth. So we're going to see.
Laid, not hatched. Laid, not hatched.
Exactly.
Born really means hatched.
Born, yeah, exactly.
You said laid, yeah, you're right.
Yes, exactly. So the Gemara is going to bring four opinions as to what exactly we're talking about in this Mishnah. And let's get started. So the Mishnah says, Beitzah shenolda b'yom tov. If you have a egg that was hatched?
Late.
Or hatched?
Late.
Sorry.
Hatcha tzoku was late.
Can.
The chicken came first, not the egg.
the egg that was laid on Yom Tov. So Beit Shammai omrim te'achel. Beit Shammai says you're allowed to eat it. Beit Hillel omrim lo te'achel. Beit Hillel says you're not allowed to eat it. Okay? So the Mishnah brings three cases of machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The reason why the Mishnah brings these three cases, and even though they're not related to one another, Rashi explains, is because these are three times, for sure, yeah, for sure. These are three times that Beit Hillel is Machmir and Beit Shammai is Mekel. So they bring them all together. The second part of the Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Se'or Bekazayit, Echametz Vechakotevet. He says, what you become chayav for with a leavening type of food, a se'or. So he says, se'or, you're liable when you eat a kezayit during Pesach. Right? Whereas chametz, bekach kotevet. When you have chametz, though, it's with a date size, not with an olive size. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim,
this means zayit is smaller than
Date. Yes, zayit is an olive, and a date is a little bit larger. Beit Hillel omrim, both of them are with an olive size, we would be liable. That's the second machloket where Beit Hillel is machmir again. Then it says, "Hashochet chayav of b'yom tov." If someone slaughters an animal on Yom Tov, which you know you're allowed to do for ochel nefesh, I mean you were allowed to do for ochel nefesh, Beit Shammai omrim yachbor v'deker v'chaseh. Beit Shammai say, you have the shovel in the ground, you just dig with the shovel and you get some of the dirt, you know, you have some dirt so you can cover the blood. Beit Hillel omrim lo yishchot. Beit Hillel says, no, you should not initially slaughter on Yom Tov. Ela im ken hayalo afar muchan mivod yom. Unless you had prepared dirt from before Yom Tov so that you can use. You can't dig and break the ground and break the dirt on Yom Tov. But he says, umodim, and he agrees, they agree, she'im shachat, if you did slaughter, she'achbor bedekar v'yachaseh, that you can dig, if you had a shovel in the ground, you can dig. You can dig with the shovel and get some of the dirt. She'efer kiram uchanhu, because the dirt of a oven is considered prepared. We're going to see what the Mishnah is talking about. What does that mean?
Beit Shammai says you can put the shovel on the ground, or if the shovel's in the ground, you
can. So We're going to see in the Gemara what the two opinions mean exactly. We're going to see in the Gemara. Okay? Let's jump right into it. So, b'mai askinan, what is our Mishnah dealing with exactly? Ilema b'tarnagulet ha'omedet la'achila. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a chicken that is standing to be eaten, meaning what? We want to slaughter it. We know we want to slaughter it. So what is that? It's not mukze. We know it's completely mutar to be eaten. So if it's completely mutar, even the chicken to be eaten, if it lays a egg on Yom Tov, what's the problem? My time out de Beit Hillel. What's the problem? What's the question? Why does Beit Hillel machmir? Uchla de ifratu. It's just food that was... I remember I have the Gemara, like the way the Rabbi Ben Chaim spoke it to us. The words are coming out of my head the way he spoke it to us. Uchlad ifratu. He always quoted the Rashi. He says it's ochel shenifrad me'ochel. So he says it's food that was separated from other food. So you have an egg that was laid from a chicken that you wanted to eat. So it's food that came from another piece of food. Why can't I eat that on Yom Tov? So what's the reason Beit Hillel is machmir? So So it says maybe, okay, fine. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a chicken that we are having to lay more eggs for us. We're not having to eat it, right? So we set it aside not to be eaten. So we are makzen midatenu. We put it on the side as, and now it's mukzen yom tov. So now we understand Beit Hillel's reasoning as to why he says you shouldn't eat it. But my time had the Beit Shammai. What's the reason for Beit Shammai who says you can eat it? If it's mukzeh, why are you allowed to eat it? Mukzehi, it's mukzeh. So now the Gemara says, Umay kushya, what is your actual difficulty over here? He says, Dilma Beit Shammai, leitlehu mukzeh. Maybe Beit Shammai holds of the opinion, like Rabbi Shimon in Masechet Shabbat, that we do not apply the laws of mukzeh to certain things, and this would be one of them. Like Rabbi Shimon, the famous machloket over there was with regards to oil. If you have oil, I think in the candle, yeah. The leftover oil. So Rashi says that you, which is from the Gemara over there, that Rabbi Shimon would permit you to use that leftover oil. It's not considered mukzeh because he doesn't hold of that deen of mukzeh over there. So why don't we say that Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon that we don't hold the deen of mukzeh, and so that's why he says you can eat the egg over here. So comes the Gemara and says, afilu man be nulad asar. Because we would have thought, alright, we do think, that someone who, even the person who permits mukzeh, still forbids nulad. And what is this case? This case is a case of nulad. You have a new egg that was laid on Yom Tov. It was a new egg that was born into the world in Yom Tov. So we consider that nulad. So even according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and Beit Shammai, it would still seemingly be asur. So this is my time, I do Beit Shammai. So what's the reason for Beit Shammai in our Mishnah that they permit eating the egg? It's nulad. That's what we are maskanah. Now we're going to jump in to make it very clear. We have four opinions we're going to see from now until Gimel Amud Aleph to understand what the Mishnah is referring to and why Beit Shammai is mekel. Why are they lenient? So the first opinion, I marked
it. Can you use one second?
You set it aside, right? Let's say I have dates and I put them on my roof because I want them to dry out. Okay. So I say I'm not going to eat them. I'm leaving them there for the whole Shabbat or the whole Yom Tov. Uh-huh. The Gemara says they're considered mukzeh. You can't move them. So it's just the same thing. But now our maskana was that it's not mukzeh, it's nolad. It's issue of nolad. So now the Gemara brings four opinions. First opinion is the opinion of Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman, le'olam b'tarnagolet ha'omed la'gadel beitzim. So really our Mishnah is talking about a chicken that is supposed to be laying eggs. And if it's supposed to be laying eggs, we have the issue of mukzeh. Because he's not having in mind to eat the chicken, so that the egg that comes out of it is also mukzeh. He says, the idlei mukzeh, idlei nolad. A person who holds the opinion of mukzeh, he holds the opinion of nolad as well. But with the leidlei mukzeh, if someone doesn't hold the opinion of mukzeh, which is this case, Beit Shammai and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no mukzeh, as leidlei nolad, he doesn't hold the opinion of nolad. So there's no issue of mukzeh, there's no issue of nolad over here, and that's why Beit Shammai would allow you to eat eggs. It's Beit Shammai, Rabbi Shimon. Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, there's no problem of mukzeh over here. Or Beit Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda. And Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, which we know Rabbi Yehuda on Masechet Shabbat, upholds the deen of mukzeh, which is why Beit Hillel over here would forbid. This is the opinion of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to why Beit Shammai is mekel and Beit Hillel is machmir. Okay, so now the Gemara asks the question. Umi amar Rav Nachman hachi? Did Rav Nachman really say like this? V'hatanan, we have a Mishnah. Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai say, this is a Mishnah in the Masechet Shabbat also, it says, magbihin me'al hashulchan atzamod uklipin. You're allowed to pick up from the table bones and peels and things that are not ra'ui l'achila. Ubeit Hillel omrim, but Beit Hillel say, misalek da tavla kula, u'mina'ara. Beit Hillel say, you should pick up, there's a chair over here, you should pick up the top layer of the, let's call it the tablecloth, or the top layer of the table, and you should shake it so all of the garbage and the stuff that's not food and it's not allowed to be moved on Shabbat falls off on its own, and so therefore you're not doing anything.
If you keep those animals, why can't you move them? Keep them to animals.
The Gemara doesn't understand. It's saying maybe because those were set aside. Let's see what Rashi says. Beit Hillel's opinion is they are mukzeh. They have the status of mukzeh. He didn't apply that rule that you can feed it to an animal. I guess that wasn't its initial purpose. Huh? They're not edible bones or peels or stuff like that. Maybe you could feed it. It's an interesting question for Masechet Shabbat. I don't know if it's shayach over here. Here it's just bringing it agav to understand what he's talking. And it comes Rav Nachman and says, our whole point is to see Rav Nachman's opinion. V'amar Rav Nachman, Anu ein lanu ela beit shemai k'rabbi Yehuda, we didak k'rabbi Shimon. Rav Nachman came and said, these opinions that we brought in Masechet Shabbat of Beit Shammai saying you're allowed to lift them mamash, take the bones off the table, and Beit Hillel says no, you can only wave the tablecloth off, saying it's the other way around. We got the opinions the wrong way. Beit Shammai really is machmir here. Beit Shammai really holds that you have to pick up the cloth and wave the bones off, and Beit Hillel's opinion that you can pick it up. Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon. Beit Hillel is the one that's mekel over here. So what do we see over here? Rav Nachman is not of the opinion that Beit Shammai in general with the laws of Muktzeh is lenient like Rabbi Shimon. He's strict like Rabbi Yehuda. So what is Rav Nachman saying over here? So it comes to Gemara and says, Amar lach Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Gabe Shabbat, with regards to Shabbat, this satam lan tana ke Rabbi Shimon, that our tana made it very clear in the Mishnah that it's like Rabbi Shimon. How do we know that? Ditnan, as the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbat, Mechatchin et adeloin lifnei behema. You're allowed to cut gourds in front of before the animal for the animal to eat. Veta nevela lifnei haklavim, and a carcass of an animal, a non-kosher animal for the animal to eat. Even though that's not allowed to be, technically we would think it's not allowed to be moved according to Beit Hillel. So you see that what it established the, according to Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, he established the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat like Rabbi Shimon. So it says, since it established the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat like Rabbi Shimon to be lenient with the Muktzeh, Mokim la leBeit Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. So we're going to establish on Shabbat that the halacha is like Beit Hillel, who holds like Rabbi Shimon, because that's the stam of the Mishnah, that we don't apply the din of Muktzeh to all things, especially in this case. Aval, but, Gabe Yom Tov, when it comes to Yom Tov, the Satan lan Tana, that the Tana was established the Mishnah k'Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. How do we see that? How do we see that the Tana established the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? Ditnan, as it's taught in the Mishnah, we're going to see this a little bit, I think a little bit later on, towards the end of the Masechet. It says, "Ein mevakin etzim min hakorot." You're not allowed to break or rip wood from a pole or a rod. "Velo min hakorah shenishbara b'yom tov," and not from one of these wooden rods that broke on Yom Tov either. Sounds like we have a problem with Muktzeh over here. So it established it like Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah in Yom Tov. Mokim la l'Beit Hillel k'Rabbi Yehuda. So we established the halacha like Beit Hillel. We know halacha is always like Beit Hillel over Beit Shammai. So we established the halacha of Beit Hillel that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So what are we saying essentially? Rav Nachman comes and says, on Shabbat, Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Shimon, because that's how the Mishnah was satem. Whereas on Yom Tov, the Mishnah was Stam Rabbi Yehuda. We were Machmir for Halachot of Muktzeh on Yom Tov. So since we're Machmir, we say that Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So on Yom Tov, Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, and that's why Beit Shammai in our Mishnah said you're allowed to eat the egg. Whereas on Shabbat, Beit Shammai is more Machmir. Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's the Machloket over here, and that's how we understand this. So now, the Gemara is going to ask a very important question, I think, that we can take a lot of Musar out of this, and a lot of importance is this question that's about to come up. So the Gemara says, Michti, let's see now what the Gemara is going to ask. It says, Man Satmei Lamatnit. Who is the one that closed off the Mishnah and established the Mishnah like who it was? So it says, Rebbe, it was Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. He says, Maishna b'Shabbat, the Satam Lan K'Rabbi Shimon. How come on Shabbat he established the Mishnah to be like Rabbi Shimon? We said on Shabbat, Mechatchina de Deluin lifnei behema, you're allowed to cut the gourds. There's no law of Muktzeh. We're much more lenient with the laws of Muktzeh on Shabbat. How come it was Sotem, the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbat? Umayishna be Yom Tov, Satan lan k'Rabbi Yehuda. And how come on Yom Tov it established the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda was Machmir? Why are we more Machmir for Shabbat and more Mekel for Yom Tov? Great question, no? The whole world thinks like this. I keep Shabbat, but I won't keep Chag. Well, what's the hevdel? We know the Mishnah and Megillah. Ein bein Shabbat le Yom Tov el ochel nefesh bilvad. There's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. The only difference is food purposes and things for food. Otherwise, everything is equal. It's ochel nefesh. Consider also ochel nefesh in the category. But everything besides for ochel nefesh is the same way it's asur on Shabbat, it's asur on Yom Tov, same way it's mutar on Shabbat. So how come with regards to Muktzeh, it's different? On Shabbat we're more lenient, on Yom Tov we're stricter. So the Gemara says, Amrei, and I would have thought of this answer also myself, I'll be honest with you. It's a very, you know, applicable reason. Shabbat de Chamira, velo ate de Zazuleba. We know Shabbat is much more strict. We know Shabbat also has a much stricter penalty also. Karet. Right? It's karet, there's sekilav, there's witnesses. So he says, velo ate de Zazuleba. They're not going to come, no one's going to come to be mezalzel with Shabbat. You're not going to disgrace Shabbat. The Shabbat Kodesh. You're going to be careful with Shabbat, right? So since we're going to be careful with Shabbat, we know how strict it is, Satan like Rabbi Shimon de Mekel. The Mishnah was established like Rabbi Shimon, who was much more lenient. We didn't need to be strict for Shabbat. Shabbat, we understand everyone's going to keep. But it says Yom Tov de Kiel, but Yom Tov, that's more lenient, more easygoing. Because there's more things you're able to do on Yom Tov. Ve'atil zazulei bay. You would think that people will come and, you know, not keep it the right kavod that it should be, which is very applicable today. Satanak Rabbi Yehuda de Machmir. So the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi established the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, who was Machmir on Yom Tov. So it's very applicable. You know, I always ask this question, and since it's literally on this topic, I'll ask. You see, when it comes to, and don't tell this to other people, because some people, if they hear this, they might take them the wrong way. But there's Yom Kippur, there's Shabbat, and there's Chag. All of them are essentially considered Shabbaton. They're all considered Shabbat, essentially. We have to keep all of them. But what's the difference in each of them? So we see that when it comes to Yom Kippur, everyone, 99% of people keep. It's very high, very holy. Then when it comes to Shabbat, okay, a little bit less, but most people keep also, we would hope. And then when it comes to Yom Tov, we have a lot less than Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. Why is it like that? In fact, we know the opposite is the case. Shabbat is the most chamor. Shabbat is the strictest punishment. Shabbat is sekilah. Shabbat's punishment is stricter than Yom Kippur. If someone comes and tells you, go and drive a car on Shabbat, or go and drive a car on Yom Kippur, what's worse?
Shabbat.
Okay, so it makes no sense. How come Yom Kippur, more people are strict, if Shabbat really is stricter? And so the answer is what the Gemara is saying. Yom Kippur, that's chamor, has a lot of things that we're strict in. You can't eat, you can't bathe, you can't anoint, you can't do anything. So no one's going to come to be mezalzel on Yom Kippur. So everyone knows you have to keep Yom Kippur. Whereas when it comes to Shabbat, there's a lot more things you can do. Why can't I shower? Why can't I eat? I can eat. Why can't I can do all these things. Okay, I can't touch. So in those cases, people are a lot more mezazel. And it works for Yom Tov also. Why do less people keep Yom Tov? It all works in people's heads based on their restrictions. They think the more restrictions, the stricter the day, the more important the day. That's not the case though. Yom Kippur has the most restrictions. It's the most important. Shabbat, the next most restrictions, the next most important. It's not true. All of them are as important, all of them are equal important, some have stricter punishments and so, but all of them are as important, we have to try our best to keep as much as we can.
It's also easier to keep one day than 52.
Nahon. Okay, but if you think about it as one day of the year, each day, each week, don't think about it as 52. If you think of Shas as you know, over 2,000 daf, you're going to fall off right away. If you think about it, I think of Shas as one daf. We have to finish one daf a day. So we finish one daf a day, at the end of 7.5 years, we'll finish Shas. Okay? So that's what the Gemara is saying. So b'may okimta. So how did we establish our Mishnah? What was our Mishnah like? So we're still in this first opinion of Rav Nachman. The Gemara says b'tarnagolet ha'omedet legadel beitzim. It says we're talking about a chicken that was standing to give off eggs, which is mukzeh, umishum mukzeh, and it's a status of mukzeh. So the Gemara says iachi. If that's the case, ademifligi bebeitza. Instead of arguing about the chicken that was laid, liflegu b'tarnagolet. Argue about the chicken itself. Why are you arguing about the egg that was laid? Argue about the chicken. Meaning, the chicken is the actual question. We're questioning the chicken. What's the status of the chicken? Is the chicken omed la'achila? Is it standing to be eaten where it wouldn't be mukteh? Or is it standing like a del beitzim? It's standing to be, bringing more eggs into the world, so it would be mukteh. So if the question is about the chicken, why are we asking? Why is the Mishnah talking about the egg? Ask itself about the chicken itself. Ask, is the chicken allowed to be? Is it allowed to be slaughtered? Is the chicken not allowed to be slaughtered? Is the chicken allowed to be eaten? It's not allowed to be eaten. Bring the shitot of Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Why are we talking about the egg? So the Gemara answers, Lo'odiyacha kochan de Beit Shammai de menulat share. The Mishnah wanted to teach us the case of Beitza, which is what comes out of the essence of the question. It comes out of the chicken, to teach us how lenient Beit Shammai is. Beit Shammai went to an extent to be even lenient with nolad in this regard. Because they say there's no rule of Mukhtse over here, and they say there's also no rule of Nolad, so he wants to teach us how important it was of the opinion of Beit Shammai that they were so lenient even to the regard of Nolad. So now the Gemara asks the question. Okay, Veliflugei B'tarnagolet. So why don't you argue about...
Happy Thursday.
Have a great day. Why don't you argue about the chicken? Lo diacha kochan de Beit Hillel de Mukhtse Asare. Why don't you say, let's teach about the chicken and say that the chicken is not allowed to be moved, it's not allowed to be slaughtered when it's legadel beitzim. To teach us how strong Beit Hillel's opinion is, that he was so machmir that he said, you can't, it's mukzeh, you can't even move it. Why don't we go the other way? You could either teach about the egg and say how lenient Beit Shammai is, or teach about the chicken and see how strict Beit Hillel is. So the Gemara says, V'chi tema koach deheter adif. Maybe we can say, and there's a famous line, koach deheter adif, that the strength of being lenient is much higher than one can be strict. Let me ask you a question. Someone asks you a halakha question. Is it easier to say mutar or easier to say asur? It's easy to say asur. Everything's asur. This is asur. That's asur. This is asur. But that's not the case. Person who's a real Tamid Chacham, like Harav Ben Chaim, he finds all the Rishonim, all the Achanim, every opinion to try to find leniency. Koach de'eter adif, the Gemara is saying. That the person who's at the highest level is the one who's able to find leniency. The one who's able to know all the opinions to find leniency. So he's saying that's why maybe we could say that it's bringing the opinion of Beit Shammai and it's talking about the egg. Why? To show us how important it is to be lenient. How high a level it is for a person who can be lenient. Wow, what a level. Who cares? Someone wants to be strict. You can be machmir whenever you want. That's not the level of a chashivu. That's not important. What's important is for a person to possibly be able to be lenient. So it says, v'niflug v'tarvayu. Why can't you just argue about both of them? Argue about the chicken and argue about the egg. Why do you have to only talk about the egg? It says, tarnagolet ha'omed l'gadel beitzim. Say in the Mishnah, it's a chicken that's standing to lay other eggs. Hi u'beitzata. It, the chicken itself, and its eggs, or its egg. Beit Shammai amrim ta'achel, Beit Hillel amrim lo ta'achel. Beit Shammai say you can eat it, and Beit Hillel say you cannot eat it. Why doesn't the Mishnah state it like that? Let's talk about both of them. So clearly it can't be how Rav Nachman tried to state for us that it's talking about a chicken standing to lay eggs. We have to find a different reasoning. Because the Mishnah didn't teach that it's both about the chicken and about the egg, it only talked about the egg, we have to find a different answer as to what our Mishnah is talking about. Coming into answer number two. Again, four answers. We'll try to see all four today at least. We'll get on to the beginning of Gimel Vav, hopefully. And there's four answers to what the Mishnah is referring to. So, Ela Amar Rabba. So Rabba says, Le'olam betarnagolet ha'omed l'achila. Really, our Mishnah is talking about a chicken that is standing to be eaten. We have this chicken at home, and we want to slaughter it, and we want to eat it on Yom Tov. So it's not a din of mukze. So what's the problem? Why can't I eat the egg? It says, Uvi Yom Tov shechaliot achar ha-Shabbat askina. We're referring to, it's a day that Yom Tov falls right after Shabbat. Yom Tov's on Sunday. When Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, what happens? Umishum hachana. You have preparation. What happens with an egg? And please, I would be very interested if someone did research on this today, see if the world agrees with the Gemara. But the Gemara says it. So it says when it says v'kasavar, we hold v'kasavar abba kol beitzada mityalda ha'idna, that any egg that's born today me'etmol gamrala. Yesterday it was fully formed. Yesterday it formed. And so what happens if you have an egg that's born on Sunday? It was late on Sunday, and yesterday was Shabbat, and Sunday is Yom Tov. We say that, okay, fine, it's born on Sunday, but it was prepared from Shabbat. And Shabbat cannot prepare to Yom Tov. You're not allowed to prepare from Shabbat to Chol, you can't prepare Shabbat to Yom Tov. So for that reason, even, it's not even Hachana of person's hands, Rashi explains this, Hachana bidei Shamayim. This is preparation in the hands of heaven. Hashem made it happen that it was prepared yesterday, and it was born and laid today. And even so, he's saying, Beit Hillel would say it's a problem. That's what he said. Why?
Yeah.
If it's born on
Yom Roshon. Yom Roshon Ragil.
Oh, okay, so we're going to see. We're about to get into that. Very good question. We're going to get into it. He's saying if any egg was born on Sunday, it should be Asur also, because we're saying it's born from Shabbat.
Anybody who prepares something on Shabbat for you by Melacha, once Shabbat is over, it's Mutar.
We're talking about on Yom Tov. Can you eat the egg on Yom Tov?
No, not Yom Tov. Regular. It's talking about regular day.
Okay, so we're talking about Yom Tov, though. Okay. We're talking about Yom Tov. Let's see, we're going to see his question as well. So he says, V'rabba leta'amen. Rabba goes according to his reasoning. Da'amar Rabba, Rabba says, Mai dichti v'ayya b'yom ha-shishi v'hechinu et asher yaviyu. The Pasuk says, right in the time when the Jewish people were in the Midbar, and the man was falling, and Shabbat was coming, and there was no man that was going to fall on Shabbat. So it says that it was on the sixth day on Erev Shabbat, v'hechinu et asher yaviyu, and they prepared what they needed to do. The double man would fall, and they would prepare for both days and everything. And so what is this Pasuk referring to? So he says, Chol mechin leShabbat, veChol mechin leYom Tov. You're allowed to prepare from a regular weekday for Shabbat and for Yom Tov, but veEin Yom Tov mechin leShabbat, veEin Shabbat mechina leYom Tov. But Yom Tov cannot prepare for Shabbat, and on Shabbat you cannot prepare for Yom Tov. Huh?
Yom Tov to Shabbat.
Right. That's why we do it. Yeah, exactly. That's why we do it. So you're allowed to prepare. But essentially, he's saying you're not allowed to prepare from one holiday to the Shabbat or from a Shabbat to the holiday. This is Rabba's opinion to teach us that. If it was born on Yom Tov on Sunday, from yesterday it was formed, and so Shabbat is preparing for Yom Tov, even Hachana B'dei Shamayim, and so we would be Oseh over here, according to Beit Hillel. And you see, actually, interesting, you know, importance from this Pasuk, how important it is to prepare for Shabbat also, from Chol, Friday to go and buy whatever is needed for Shabbat, challah, grape juice, whatever is needed, it's a big mitzvah to prepare, and you say, L'Shem, Kvod Shabbat, Onik Shabbat, you buy it in order for the honor of Shabbat. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Abaye, Abaye said to Rabba, Ela me'ata, if that's the case, Yom Tov be'alma tishtere, that a regular day of Yom Tov why would we forbid a regular day of Yom Tov? Right? We said that what? Before he gets to your question, he's going to ask a regular question. Let's say Yom Tov is on a Tuesday. What's the problem? You have an egg born on Tuesday. It was formed Monday. Preparation from Chol to Yom Tov. So why do we forbid it? The Mishnah wasn't talking about Shabbat. The Mishnah said, Beitza shenoda be Yom Tov. Beitza is born or laid on Yom Tov. So why are we forbidding? Why don't we permit a regular day of Yom Tov? So the Gemara answers, Gizera mishum Yom Tov achar Shabbat. No, there's a decree. It's because you're not allowed, because it's the decree of a day of Yom Tov that fell out after Shabbat. So we'll forbid any egg that's born on Yom Tov. Gezera, it's a decree, lest there be a Yom Tov after Shabbat that there was eggs born on, and we can't have those. So all of these days that are Yom Tov that eggs are born on, we are forbidding those days out of Gezera. So now we have your question. We have another question. Shabbat alma tishtere. So why don't we permit, let's say an egg was born on Shabbat. If an egg is laid on Shabbat, it should be permitted. We don't have the Gezera of Yom Tov after Shabbat. Right? And it's not Yom Tov itself, so what's the problem? He says, Gezera mishum Shabbat achar Yom Tov. Wow. Over here we have a different decree. If an egg is born on Shabbat, we have a decree of, even though today it's really considered permitted, we'll make a decree on it in case there's another time where Shabbat falls after Yom Tov where it would be forbidden. Because when Shabbat falls after Yom Tov is formed and it's born and it's laid on Shabbat, it's preparing for Yom Tov to Shabbat. So we'll make a decree for that one time. So now the Gemara asks, Umi Gazrinan, do we really make such decrees on any Shabbat or on any Yom Tov? Do we really go so far? This Vahat Tanya. We have in a Baraita, Hashochedat HaTarnagolet, if someone slaughters a chicken, Umatzabat Beitzim Gemurot, and he found full-formed eggs, Mutarot Leochlan B'Yom Tov, he's allowed to eat those eggs on Yom Tov. And he says, V'im Ita, and if it's the way you're saying, Ligzar Mishum Hanach Dimityaldan B'Yomehen, we should decree on those eggs that are born, so to say, or they came out into the world naturally. Those natural born eggs, we should make a gezerah for the eggs that are naturally born. What are we saying? We have a chicken. You take a chicken, you slaughter it. Inside you find full-formed eggs. The Mishnah, so the Gemara says, you're allowed to eat those eggs. How come I'm allowed to eat those eggs? Why don't we make a gezerah on those eggs, lest we come to eat eggs that were born on a regular day of Yom Tov naturally? Make the same gezerah. Why do you change the rule over here? So clearly you don't see we don't make a full gezerah that anytime their eggs come out on Yom Tov or Shabbat, it's forbidden. Over here it's allowed. So what's the answer? Amar le beitzim gemurot b'mei im'an milta de la shechicha. Full eggs in the stomach of its mother, in the stomach of the chicken, is not very common. And he says, milta de la shechicha hi, umilta de la shechicha lo gazu ba rabbanan. And a non-common thing like that, they didn't make a decree on. But on all other aspects, they made a decree. When it's a regular day of Yom Tov, is a decree. A regular day of Shabbat, there is a decree. Right? It's only in the fact of when they were slaughtered, they were found full-formed in the mother's stomach, that we don't make that kind of decree. These are the first two opinions we've mentioned. Now we're going to jump into the last two opinions, which is very short. We'll jump into the next amud. Rav Yosef Amar, Gezerah Mishum Perot HaNoshrin. We're making a decree on this egg that came out of its mom because of a Gezerah we have of Perot HaNoshrin. We know if you have fruits that fall off a tree on Shabbat or Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat them. Why? So Amar Le Abaye, Perot HaNoshrin Ta'amamai. Abaye asks, what's the reason why we have Perot HaNoshrin, that fruits that fell off the tree that are not allowed to be eaten? Gezerah Shema Yad Levi Itlosh. We have a gezerah, you go next to the tree, you find a nice apple, oh, this is nice. You look up, you say, oh, this is a nicer one, and you pluck that one. There's a gezerah, if you take the one from the ground that you found on, that fell on Shabbat or Yom Tov, you're going to go and, God forbid, pluck one. So they make a gezerah. So they say, this is the gezerah, and the reason why our Mishnah, this is his opinion, Rav Yosef, who says that you're not allowed, the egg that was born on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat. Why? It's similar to the case of this fruit that fell on Shabbat, and you say you're not allowed to eat it.
Oh, are you going to go out and get another chicken? Hey, how can you compare that?
That's a gzerah. But the Gemara asked a question a little bit different than yours. He gufa gzerah. Huh?
Why isn't that ochal nefesh?
What ochal nefesh?
To pluck on Yom Tov.
No, you can't. Shabbat. You're saying on Yom Tov. I think it's a deoraita of kotzer. You're saying, why aren't you allowed to do it on Yom Tov?
Yeah, because
it's referring to Shabbat.
On Friday.
It's something that you could have done before.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, seemingly maybe something you could have prepared before Yom Tov. It's a good question.
Okay,
so he says he gufa gzera. That itself is a gzera itself, right? The gzera of perot hanoshrin, that fruits that fell off, that's a gzera. Shema, you're going to go and pluck one.
Yeah.
You can't. We're going to go and establish a gezerah for another gezerah. You can't make one decree on another decree. We can't say you're not allowed to have the chicken that was laid on Yom Tov. Gezerah Shema, you're going to have a fruit that fell on Yom Tov. Gezerah Shema, you're going to go and rip a fruit off the tree. That's a double gezerah. You can't do that. Gemara answers, Kula chad gezerahi. No, it's all one gezerah. This is a very famous answer that the Gemara gives. It's all in one gezerah. Meaning, when it said perot hanoshrin, when it said the fruits that fell off, even the egg was included, Rashi explains. Af beitza ha'ita b'mashma. Even the egg was included in that gezerah. It's not two different gezerah. It's one essence of gezerah. The chicken that fell, the egg that was laid, the fruit that was laid, the fruit that fell. This is the third opinion.
Rabbeinu, slicha. Perot hanoshrin b'chag. Asur, v'gam liktof b'chag asur?
Yom Tov itself?
Yom Tov
yes,
itself?
Yes.
אז מה אוכל פה נפש? זו שאלה שלו במקום.
It sounded like, again, if somebody doesn't have food, that's one thing. But it sounds like it's something maybe you need to prepare for Yom Tov. I'm going to look into that question. It's a good question. אני לא יודע. I don't know the answer. I'm going to look into the question. It's a good question. Fourth opinion. Let's finish off with this. Rabbi Yitzchak אמר גזרה משום משכין שזבו. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, it's a גזרה because of liquid that flowed out from a fruit. Right, we know, of course, you're not allowed to do sechita on Shabbat. You can't squeeze out juice from a fruit. What happens if the juice... Okay, on the food is something else. But generally, just to do it alone, it's not allowed. But he says, what happens if the juice came out on its own? You didn't squeeze it out. It just came out. So the Gemara on Shabbat says that's asur. Yatsuma atzman asurin.
Maybe you're going to come and squeeze more.
Right, the gzera, because you might come to do sechita. So it says, this is the same case as that. Says mishum mashkin shezavu. So Amar le Abaye mishkin shezavu tamamai. What's the reason that we forbid flowing liquids out of the juice, out of the fruit? Gezera shemei ischot. It's a gezera lest you come to squeeze the fruit out. So he says higufo gezera. That itself is a decree. Va'ano nekom enigzor gezera legzera. We're gonna come and establish another decree for this decree. How can you say the reason why you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov that was born on Yom Tov is because of Mashkin shezavu, the liquid that was flowed out, which is a decree, lest you come to squeeze out a fruit. That's double gezerah. The Gemara answer is kula chad gezerahi. No, it's all included in one gezerah. When we say mashkin shezavu, when the Gemara says that, it also the beitzah was included in that aspect. The beitzah fell from its mother. The juice fell from the fruit. And so just to be a quick maskana of what we learned today, we asked in our Mishnah, what exactly is our Mishnah talking about? We went through four opinions. The first opinion we talked about, maybe it's talking about legadel betzin, that it's a chicken standing to give off eggs, and maybe it's a problem mukteh. But we said, hey, we know that's not, we don't have a problem mukteh. We got into a different answer. Then we jumped into that, and then we said, kwach etera adif, we saw that the strength of someone who is more lenient is better than someone who is stricter. We asked, why not teach both about the chicken and about the egg? And so we said, okay, this can't be the answer. The answer maybe is the second opinion of Rabbah, who says, omed el achila, that maybe it's a chicken that's standing to be eaten, and then you don't have the problem of mukteh, but you have a problem of hachana, that's preparing. We have a Yom Tov achara Shabbat, or Shabbat achara Yom Tov. We made a gezerah of any day of Shabbat, any day of Yom Tov. That didn't work either, because we saw in the Gemara that there's many times it technically kind of did work. It's just maybe that it was a little bit of a tough answer to say. So the Gemara tried to bring a third answer, the third answer of Rav Yosef being perot hanoshrin, the fruits fell from the tree on Shabbat Yom Tov. You're not allowed to have them because gezerah Hashem, you're going to yalev itlosh. And we said that's the same exact thing as petzah. And the fourth opinion was Rav Yitzchak, who says mishum mashkin shezavu, you have juice that came out from the fruit. And we said the reason for that is gezerah Hashem yischot, you're not allowed to squeeze out a fruit on Yom Tov. And we said the petzah is included in that gezerah. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen v'amen.